Okay, everybody, we just finished recording episode number 28 of Festool Shop Talk, and it's with Clara Kim from Clara's Woodshop. This, you gotta listen to this one, everybody. She goes over her journey from art school to a woodworking business, and it's a must listen. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Festool Shop Talk. And today we have a wicked special guest. Her name is Clara Kim. And she decided to join us for episode 28. And let me see, I got my notes here. You can find Clara, and Clara, please correct me if I'm wrong on this, on Instagram at Clara's Woodshop. Her website is ckim@clara'swoodshop.com. And most importantly, she can be found on YouTube at Clara's Woodshop. Hey, are you on TikTok?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much all social media.
No kidding, huh? Wow, that's so cool. I found you on YouTube. So awesome. I was really impressed. I think we met for the first time, and you actually did a video on it. I was a little embarrassed. I'll tell you that right now. What was that? It was at Austin. It was in Austin, Texas, right? At the Union there, the Union Hall. And we did the Festool New Product Roadshow. And you showed
Recharge.
Up.
Recharge.
See? You know this stuff better than I do. it was really cool to meet you. I had started to follow your feeds, I think, a few months prior, and I was really impressed. We'll get into that a little bit in a few minutes.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Clara, I'm going to start asking some questions. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I always hate this part when someone says, hey, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, why don't you? How did you get, by the way, there's a good video on this on your channel, but how did you get started? How long have you been doing this? Well, how did you get into woodworking?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's a trivial question for everyone, to be honest. Like wherever you go, that's going to be your elevator speech.
Yeah.
Well, first thing foremost, thanks for having me here. It's an honor to be invited to Festool Shop Talk. And I'm excited to be here. And all right, let's go into talking about myself. So as Sedge introduced me, I'm Clara. I'm a sculptor who happens to be working with wood. And how I got started with all this woodworking was actually in college, an art school that I went in Chicago. And the funny story that I always like to tell about this is woodworking might have not been my thing had not my friend introduced me to this one class, because I had two experiences with woodworking prior to taking that class. And the first one, both of them didn't really leave a good impression with woodworking, to be honest. The first one, I was carving wood, and this was in the period of time that I had no clue whatsoever what woodworking is. Like, I don't know species of wood. Now that I know, the wood that I was carving was rosewood.
What?
Yep, it was rosewood that I was hand carving pretty much all the way through with a chisel. I don't even know whether it was sharp or not. And there was one time that I carved into it and it kind of got stuck. So I tried to yank it out, and I did yank it out, but it recoiled and left, let's see if I can see.
Wow. Yeah.
Left that scar on me.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. That's my first injury that came from woodworking.
Wow. The Shop Talk isn't about trading scars, but I want to show you something. Right here on my hand, you'll love this. See this? There's a scar right there.
Yeah.
And my wife asked me years ago, how did you get that? I go, I went out into the shop and I grabbed the spoon that was half calved. I did it when I was 11 years old.
No.
And I was calving it for my mother for Mother's Day. She had to rush me to the hospital. I think about
10 stitches right there. Okay, so
oh,
I'm
man.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, so. You're fine. Yeah, but
so
not
that
only
a
that
good
I
stat for that wasn't
no.
a good stat for you.
Oh no, it wasn't. And not I not only got my first injury from woodworking, I also got this gnarly skin rash. I don't know if it was the condition of the studio that I was at or it was coming from the wood. Don't know where it came from, but I got a gnarly skin rash that lasts for about a year and a half.
What?
Yeah, it lasted a long time.
Have you ever had a reaction since?
No.
Oh, thank
Not
God.
Not since. Yeah, I know.
Thank God.
If I had another skin rash, I wouldn't be doing this either.
Yeah, I know. So what was the... So hang on a second. So that was the first time. Mm-hmm. How did you... What pushed you into keep pursuing this?
So the second time it was... I got into it because it was part of the class project. So okay. I took a sculpture 101 class, which introduces to pretty much all medium and how to use them, wood, metal, and any found material or fiber. So I did my second woodworking in that class. And again, it wasn't so fun.
Really?
No, it wasn't. So first semester, nervous already in school. I don't know anybody. Of course, everyone else doesn't know anybody either. But the wood shop that I got to use later in the career or later down the road in the school, like everyone will call that wood shop the dive bar.
Really?
Yeah. It's this basement wood shop with... kind of dingy. They upgraded later on, so it's more nicer looking, but it's dingy. They have different color patched wall and just the vibe of it. It's like, if you know, you know, but if you're new here, you're going to feel a little out of place. And wow. On top of that, just being introduced to all of these machines, like it's a school, it's a wood shop with really nice machines. If I think about it, like they had saw stop table saws, not only one, but they had three.
Wow.
And they had two, can't remember the name of the bandsaw. But anyways, really nice shop in retrospect. But when you're first introduced to that environment, it's just not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get used to it. You got to get comfortable in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So after that project, and... It was a fairly simple project to do. Nothing really intricate, no furniture making, nothing like that. Simple, but still it was so darn hard.
Really?
So, yeah. So after that, I kind of put a hold, or I made up in my mind, you know what? I might not use wood in my art career at all.
What?
And now this is when I go into, but... one of my friends, she took a woodworking class over the winter course, and she was praising about this instructor that taught the class. He's so nice. He's so patient with his student, and he walks through the process really step by step for everyone to understand the process. And if they have any question or if they seem like they're stuck, he would go out of his way to make sure he helped every single student out. So that is when I took my first woodworking class.
Wow. So what was the instructor's name?
My instructor name, his name is Paul Martin.
Paul Martin. And so this is at the Art Institute you went to, and this was in Chicago?
Yes, the Art Institute of Chicago.
Wow. Cool. So, wow. How many years were you there?
At the Art Institute?
Yeah.
At the Art Institute, I transferred over there. So I think I graduated in 3 years.
Huh. And wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because Chicago's only like 2 hours away from us here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I tell everybody, I go, it's about two and a half hours to Chicago. And then anywhere inside Chicago, it's another 2.5 hours. Because the traffic is so unbelievable.
Oh. Yeah, if you hit on the wrong time, it's going to take forever to get in there.
You live in Texas now, right? That's where your shop is.
That's right. Yeah, I moved from Chicago to Houston last. It's been a little bit more than a year now.
You like it down there?
Yeah, definitely enjoying the long summer in comparison to the long winter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a for sure. And I grew up in Maine and we had two seasons there. We had wintertime and 4th of July. It was, you want to talk about a long winter. I know those winters. Cool.
Oh, man.
Wow. So, okay. So I'm kind of like thinking about this. So that was your first woodworking class. Mm-hmm. And how long did that last?
The woodworking class was for, how long is a semester? 3 months?
3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was that the deciding factor that you really liked working with wood?
The deciding factor was after I did horribly in the class that I took. It's an intermediate class. It's called Twist and Route. And it's learning all about the techniques of how to manipulate shape of wood. So using router, doing bent lamination, doing steam bending. So all of the more techniques that you do have to understand the logic or how wood works. Mm-hmm. But I'm just walking it, not knowing what it is.
That's cool.
I just heard the instructor is awesome. Let me take this. But hey, there's only an intermediate class and it's a very, really popular class. And so as a senior, I was able to have a first pick on classes. So I just got myself into this intermediate class. And there was, out of 4 projects in the entire semester, except for one, pretty much all the rest of that, I wasn't able to complete it.
Wow. What? Really?
No. Yeah. I wasn't able to. It's just, I had too much passion when I had little skill.
Yeah, but well, passion gets you there if you ask me.
Yeah.
Huh. That's why. Okay, keep going. I'm just thinking about some of the stuff I see you building.
So after I did horribly in that class, it was kind of the moment, the factor of like, you know what? Working with wood is kind of cool. And now I know how to build things. So it was spring semester, so I had a long summer break. What am I going to do during this time? Let me just build myself a bunk bed.
Really?
Yep. Because I don't know why, but having a bunk bed for me, it seemed like I romanticized bunk bed. I never used it before, so I romanticized it.
No kidding.
So I spent my entire summer just staying in the shop 5 days a week until I got this project done. It took me 2 months to make a bunk bed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You built it in place in your house?
Yeah. So at the time I was living in an apartment unit that had a loft. So it had a really high ceiling. I would say like 10, wait, probably taller than that. Can't remember, but tall enough that I can install a bunk bed in.
That is cool. That's cool. So, oh, wow. Huh. So it went from you building a bunk bed to that was your senior year and you graduated and you moved to Houston and started a wood shop, woodworking business?
No. So after I graduated at 2017.
Oh.
And after I graduated, I start working at the school that I graduated from.
Oh, wow.
I worked at one of the wood shop as a supervisor.
You were a supervisor at the wood shop there?
Yeah. I became a supervisor in the wood shop that I grew up from.
That is unbelievably cruel. Wow. Huh. There was a school up there, Chicago School of Woodworking. I knew the owners there. I don't know if they're still open. Mm-hmm. It was a really neat place over in Wrigleyville. Huh. Huh. Okay, cool. Sorry. I just went off on a tangent. My brain did. Wow, that's cool. So you have, and so this is what I was intrigued when I first saw your Instagram feed. You have some unbelievably beautiful pieces on there. And let me ask, so I saw you designing something in one of your YouTube videos, and you were just sketching something. Is that how it starts, your idea, and you sketch? Because you've got an incredible brain for design. Okay, so I'm going to ask, how did you come up with a sculpture called Root?
That one, I made it as my graduation piece. And before the very last semester, I was spending a lot of time what I wanted to make for my final piece. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had the knowledge of how to work better with wood. So I was just thinking about what I can make. And as like, in terms of what I like to create, I always say I love to make something that is functional, even in artwork. Before I learned woodworking, I want to be able to make something that could be more than just what you can see, either if it's something that you can feel, sense it, like touch it, just interact around with it more than just like visually looking at it. Because that, for me personally, it's really sad that all you can do if you look at a painting is you can only watch it.
Nope, I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I was taught by a gentleman here. In fact, I'm teaching at his school this weekend, Mark Adams. He said to me one time down at my shop at Fort Lauderdale, he goes, you want people, when you build something, you want them to walk up to it and touch it. Because I was talking about finishes with him, and he was asking me about what we finished, me and my business partner finished stuff with. Mm-hmm. And he went up to it, and he put his hand and he brought it across. He goes, oh, that's nice. And he goes, that is a key to a nice piece of furniture or a nice cabinet or something. You want people to walk up to it and touch it. Mm-hmm. Because it's that tactile thing. And also, I always built utilitarian. You know, my stuff was always functional. None of my stuff was ever called works of art like your stuff. because that piece called Root, it's a sculpture, but it's also a seat, correct?
Yes, that is correct. So I just call it stool because it's really low.
Yeah.
It's neat. And continuing on how that came to be. Oh, sorry, yeah, I cut you off.
I'll just tell everybody you gotta go see it. It's a really unique piece, but go ahead and tell everybody how it came to be.
So yeah, in the process of designing it, the other idea concept that I like to play around with in terms of my own artwork is like the relation in between me as a person and in a space. Because wherever I go, like I do like to make my space my sanctuary. Like it's crucial. Like I wanna have an environment and I wanna be in an environment that can inspire me and just makes me feel like home. And that's what I do with the space. So coming up with that design was how can I make something that people can interact with, but also can make them feel in a way to be surrounded, almost like be in their own bubble.
Ah. Okay. Now I get it. Yeah, because you're surrounded. That's okay, good. Okay, sorry, that's neat. Yeah, you it's a sense of security. It's your own bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was my intention, but when I also create artworks, sometimes my intention really doesn't matter because the fact that I want to make something that can be interacted, I want to put more value in what the other what the people who are interacting with the work feel when they actually do interact. So I got a lot of feedback that's more fun than what I intended.
Yeah. And
people were actually saying, you know what, it made me feel like I'm more on a spotlight. And
oh, I see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I was taught when I was young. Because my parents always took us to, you know, art museums, and my mom was an artist. And we would always, they would ask us, because I had three other siblings, what are your thoughts on that? And everybody would have a different, it was always neat to see somebody's take on that piece of art. You know, it was just cool, because you're right. How does somebody, what feelings are created? Like my mom would always ask, what do you feel about that when you see that? How do you feel when you see that? And I guess that's what you want, the interaction from that person who's observing or actually using something. When I was building, I would build mostly kitchens, and I would say, what do you think of that? And they would go, oh, that's beautiful. I go, okay, give me your money. That was my interaction. It was kind of crude, but that was my interaction.
You think it's beautiful? Wow. Well done.
Yeah. Final payment, please. Oh my God. Okay, so I'm going to call this out. Your series that you have of videos on YouTube, and I've mentioned this to you before, Clara, is really what drew me into your channel. And it's called A Woodworker's Diary.
Yes.
So what's neat about that, and I'm going to tell everybody listening or watching, what's really interesting is you're very sharing with your life, your feelings, and your journey as a woodworker. Okay, so I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with that? Did you just start thinking, how did you come up with this idea to share your journey with everybody?
So in terms of a lot of videos, I get, I bounce around ideas a lot with my partner, because he has a really creative mind of like video and visuals. So he would be talking, giving me ideas like, ooh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And when it comes to making, it's not something that we can just make a project be done in a week. It's not realistic.
Oh, I know that. And he's an editing phenom, by the way. He's unbelievable, because your videos are incredible. They're intriguing. And Chris is nodding, because we totally agree, your videos are bar none some of the best.
Thank you. I will definitely tell him after this call.
You got it. No, it's good. In fact, I saw him with the camera, and I didn't introduce myself down in Austin. And I was like, who is that? I am, duh. Well, that's probably her video guy. And I didn't know he was your partner. That's so cool. That's nice. Because I saw you call him out on Instagram recently, I think. That's pretty cool. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry. So it was your guys' idea that came up with this woodworker's diary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the project can't be done in a week, and we do want to post a YouTube video at least once a week. So that he was asking, like, oh, what if you talk about your process, like share, like just talking about it, or talk about what happened in a week or a month, like the duration of what happened. It was changing constantly, but it's like, just share the idea. Share your thoughts. How I grew in the process of making a project, or just in day-to-day life.
Yeah, no, it's very authentic. And everybody has to see these, because at the end, you guys sometimes have a little post show, and they're kind of comical, but also you have bloopers in there. It's funny as heck.
Yeah, the blooper is my favorite part too.
Yeah. Okay. So here's something that was really neat, and you did it in your Woodworker's Diary. You just traveled to Korea, right? That's where you're originally from?
Originally, That's a question that I'm not quite sure how to answer. I was born in the States and moved to Korea and then moved back to the States.
Oh, that is so cool. I didn't know that. Oh, wow. That is so neat. So you were over there, and I think it was for a wedding?
Yeah, my sister's wedding.
Oh, how nice. And the reason I mention this is because you did an interview with somebody that, Turner, that just blew me away, his work. And his name is Nohiwon. Huh?
Yes, his name is Nohiwon, and he goes, his username for IG is Onionwood, and his store name is Onionwood too.
I saw that. How did he come up with that name?
So he, that's the same question I asked too, because Onionwood, why? And it was so lighthearted what he said. He just said, I like the sound of it.
That's neat.
I like the sound of it. And it's somehow, it's like similar process of wood turning. You just like keep peeling, carving off wood. And he has this massive curiosity, almost like a child. Like his ideas just like starts little, but it just like grows and grows. So he liked the idea of peeling onions, just being curious what's underneath it.
Great name. It's intriguing to see a name like that. Okay, so there's a table you're sitting at, and there's all kinds of turnings at the end. And you guys are talking back and forth when you're interviewing him, and he would pick up something and talk. And I was like, how in the heck did he turn that? Is that where he sits all the time? Like to have dinner or something? Or
That's his office area. So probably for just sit down dining area to just sit and chill. And probably he also teaches in his studio space. So it could be an area that he can sit around with his students, talk, chat. But his idea board is in front of the lathe. It's as he work on a piece. He doesn't plan too much ahead of time, because what he said about wood turning is, like, if you have a specific plan, sometimes it's really easy to get messed up somewhere in the process. But if a mistake occurs, instead of trying to stick to the plan, he'll just switch it away right away and make something else out of the mistake that he made. You know what? I made a mistake. Let me change the plan and carve something else out of it.
He's got an unbelievable a brain that thinks spatially, because he does all these eccentric turnings.
Oh, my God. It was mind-blowing.
There was one piece that had these points come up. Each one was a turning. It was a single piece, and then there was something in the middle. And I was like, I have no idea how to do that. And his brain must be constantly going.
It was really incredible and such a great experience to get to talk with him, get to see what he does. He's been doing wood turning for 20 years, and he's a self-taught wood turner. He didn't learn from anybody.
That's all self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Hey, in there, he said he had a situation where it was about. Because it's different in Korea, he said, about traditional versus being creative. It was difficult somehow and learning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So in Korea, there are a lot of creative people, but in order to sustain as an artist, you have to join some kind of group or go on competitions and like gain the notoriety amongst peers.
Gotcha.
But no, seems like it's more heavily people are still more wanting traditional aspects rather than being creative or I would say, more creative. They do appreciate more of the tradition, and they somehow want to keep the traditional aspects more. So it seems like there was some struggle coming from that.
Yeah, I think here in the States, now that you explained it like that, I think here in the States, you know, when I meet furniture builders and stuff like that, you have period furniture builders and you have studio furniture builders, two different, you know, realms of building. Like some guys just love doing all that, and they're incredible craftspeople doing the period furniture. But then you have these people who do studio work, and I just look at it, and it's what it is for me, and I'll put you kind of in there. It's very creative, one-off pieces, it seems, and you always start asking their background. I always do, and yeah, started at so-and-so art institute, and because of you have that creative gene. And your works of art, because the pieces you build are works of art. That's my thought process on it. So there we go. Okay, so in the end of that video, I want to mention something you said, or maybe I forget where I heard it or saw it, but you said, "Oh, it was a shortened version of it, and when you guys looked at it, you needed to shorten it." But you said you have more in the loop, because you did more interviews over there?
Yeah. So while in Korea, I got to meet with total 5 different woodworkers and one artist of my friend.
Wow, cool. And those will be forthcoming, please.
Yes, those will all be coming. I'm not going to say they're going to come anytime soon, because lots of translation.
It's great, because I just love seeing woodworkers from around the world and if somebody like you takes the time to talk to them and put it on a video, they're fantastic, because I don't want to say woodworking's woodworking, but you get their take on things, you know, and you get to see their shop and everything, their thought process and stuff like that. So very good. I really like that. Okay, so there's another one. I'm so terrible. I don't know if I should ask Festool questions. Hey, I got a question.
Shoot it away.
You have some Festool, right?
I do have a few, yes.
Okay, so what's your favorite one?
Which is my favorite one? Okay, so I don't have a lot of collection. I do have total 4.
Cool.
I have, yeah. And my favorite one out of those 4 would be Domino.
I knew you were going to say that.
Is it too obvious for everyone?
No, that's such a cool tool. You know? Yeah. I love it when I'm teaching this week, and I mentioned that earlier, and we go through a bunch of tools down there. It's a cool 2-day class. And the one I spend the most time on is the Domino. Because, boy, people, they have it, and they've had it for a few years. They just don't know all the little nuances to it, you know? And it's fun just seeing the light bulbs go off. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so let's get back. Okay, so, Chris, make a note on this. I asked a Festool question. Okay, good. in your video, you did something that I popped up and I watched it. And how did you end up going to the Texas Woodworking Festival? I know it's pretty close. How far are you from Austin? Because I know that was the Austin School of Furniture's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Austin from Houston is only 2.5 hours away.
Oh, cool.
Fairly short drive.
So what intrigued you to go to that?
That is actually by going to Festool Recharge. So Festool Recharge is my very first event, woodworking event, I would say, that I got to go. And after going to it, I learned a lot, getting to meet a lot of people from there, new faces, people who are in the field currently. So it was a lot of fun and learning experience. So I was talking to my partner, like, hey, you know what? We should look around what other festival are that we can possibly go. So out of the search, Austin Woodworking Festival popped up. So we talked to Austin, who is the owner of the furniture school.
Yeah.
So we talked to him and he invited us, like, hey, come and hang out. So very, very appreciative to Austin who invited us. And the entire experience in the festival was amazing. I learned so much. Learned so much, met even more people.
Yeah. Hey, you said something in that, on your recollection of it that I was watching, that, and I feel this all the time when I attend something like that. You feel a little overwhelmed sometimes. There's too much, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Because when you were saying that, I was like, yeah, I felt like that before too. When I used to go to these really big one, like IWF in Atlanta, I was like,
oh my,
it was too much overload, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that seemed like a little bit smaller one. And I was watching a few of the feeds coming out of there, and there was a lot of really cool people that attended. Huh. If you had one takeaway from there, what was your probably number one takeaway?
My takeaway. My takeaway from the festival would be just enjoy.
Oh.
I did enjoy the entire experience in the festival, but at some point I think something got into my head that I have to do X, Y, and Z. And then that's when the nerves start kicking in. Like, I have to do this. I have to do that. Yeah. And it's like that just accumulated inside my head. And I'm start talking more about the ideas that what I need to do instead of just enjoy it.
Cool. I think just seeing everybody down there, I think I may take a couple days off next year and head down there myself. Because I was talking to a few people about it, and I was actually on the phone with him. It's really cool. His name is Austin, isn't it? We did a festival shop talk with him.
And,
We actually were down there for the Rubio Monaco event, and we decided, and I asked him, I go, I'd like to do a shop talk with you. Can we do it right there at Austin School of Furniture? So my big joke was that we're in Austin, Texas, at Austin School of Furniture. And the owner's Austin. he's just such a nice guy. And this year in October, the Rubio Monaco event, which we usually do at their headquarters in Spicewood, which is just outside of Austin, it's actually going to be at Austin School of Furniture. And I was on the phone with him, checking out his tool list. I'm going to send a bunch of Festool down there next week. So I think that's October 15th or something like that. I got to fly out for that. Okay, so let's see. You moved from Chicago. Why Houston? Long summer versus long winter? Was there any particular reason? Because you opened a woodworking business, correct?
Yes. The reason Houston is, so my partner parents bought their retirement home in Houston because they currently live in Illinois, Peoria.
Yeah.
Or Peoria, Illinois. And yeah.
All
same
good.
Thing.
All good.
And before they moved to Illinois, they used to live in Houston. So they have a warm part in their heart about Houston. So they wanted to eventually move back to Houston after they deal with all of their business in Peoria, but they bought the house before they even start wrapping up their business. So it was vacant and there were just things happening in the house, like a tree fell or a tree needs to be cut down. And so maintenance wise, there's something that his parents couldn't attend immediately. And us in Chicago at the time, we were actually working on a different business. And my partner, he was working a part-time job to just bring in some income. But as soon as that income comes in, it's just all going out through paying rent. So we thought about it, and his parents also just brought up the idea of what if you guys would like to, like, you can move to Houston, take care of the house.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we were talking about it, and you know what? I think it's a realistic idea that we should go for. So we wrapped up everything in Chicago and moved down to Houston.
Wicked cool. And so your business, you build commission pieces for people. You have some stuff on your website.
Mm-hmm.
How do the customers come to you? Do they come from your website or Instagram? How do they reach out to you?
So at the very beginning, when we just started doing social media and opening up the website, the most customer were coming through TikTok.
Really?
Very surprisingly.
Wow. Cool.
At the time, my very first customer, I believe he came through TikTok, if I remember it correctly. I might be wrong at this point, but we were start creating more videos, and out of like one of the early videos that we made was talking about using Purple Heart as cutting board.
Yeah.
And that video took off on TikTok specifically. And after that, there was a lot of people contacting me through TikTok wanting for cutting boards.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I didn't think about TikTok. You know, I know some people who launched a pretty successful business, a few people from Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that Instagram popped, and I know a lot of people use Instagram to show their project bills and stuff like that. But that's really, wow, that's good news for people to hear on Shop Talk. Hey, anywhere people can find out about you nowadays, right?
Yeah, with social media, whichever platform, it's something that I wouldn't say it's guaranteed this platform is going to be more successful versus the other. You just never know.
You never know. Huh. Pretty darn cool. So what do you find right now in your business? What are your biggest struggles right now? Or do you have any?
I think my biggest struggle did pass. I did have a struggle like just around the time flying out to Korea and then coming back here. So opening the business, I did open up with the intention of taking in custom furnitures, and it's been over a year now since I opened up that business. And the more time passes by, the more that I'm realizing is I do as a sculptor who got into this side of woodworking, I still do have a deep love in wanting to make art pieces that has no limitation, and who knows what, it might be something that no one really wants, but it's being able to fulfill my own curiosity and my like love of what I can show.
That is really neat. I know quite a few people who started with commissioned work, and they were showing all their pieces on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, Facebook. And now they say, I don't have time to, you know, do commissioned work. I build for my house now, because they have a successful venture with YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, I see that more and more often, and I'm like, wow, maybe I'm doing something wrong here. I'm just kidding. Oh, that's pretty cool. What else? Oh, I love this one. I ask this every single time. Mm-hmm. Who was or is your biggest influence?
In life or in woodworking?
I'm glad you said that. Let's start with woodworking.
With woodworking, my biggest inspiration would be my mentors. I had one official instructor. He's definitely one of my mentors. And another sculptor. Designer, I would say. He's an artist as a designer. Mm-hmm. He's someone that I never directly took his class, but he was also a director in one of the other wood shops in the school. And I got to work with him on the project route, actually. He helped me out working with that project.
Wicked cool.
So two of those people are my biggest inspiration in woodworking. I'm like, it matters who you learn from. Like the first person you get introduced to woodworking, it sets the tone. And I'm so glad that I got to take Paul Martin's class, because he was such an amazing instructor and a woodworker.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So who is your biggest influence in life?
I would say that is my mom.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities or a lot of path that I might have not taken was always like questioned by my mom. Like, what if you do this? What if you go back to the States? Do you want to study more?
Yeah. She's your guiding light, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I had both my parents were my guiding light. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I went off on a tangent. My brain went, oh, there you go. So you want to hear a really cool story.
Please do tell me.
I used to watch this television show all the time. And go, man, that guy's got a wicked cool shop. I was growing up watching his program. I was like, man, that guy just knows woodworking. Like, oh, he's unbelievable. And I just followed him. And then I got into woodworking. And I saw him at a trade show. And he was signing saw blades. And I was going, seems like a really nice guy. Never met him. And then come to work at Festool. And about a month in there, I was flown out to Massachusetts. And the next thing I know, I'm having breakfast with him in his house.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And he has become a really good friend. And to the point where last time I saw him was about 4 years ago. And I've been hanging out with, when I say hanging out with him, I've done videos with him for Festool. On sets, and it's just we have a good time every time we get together. He has given me some unbelievable advice, and also being with him, I've mm-hmm. learned so much from him, how he interacts with people. And what's really neat is last time I saw him, I was shaking his hand. It was right before the pandemic. I think it was 2018. I'm out in Vegas, and he's in our booth at Festool signing stuff, and right before he's standing on the other side of the aisle and I'm doing a demo and before he comes to the booth and I walk up to him, I go to shake his hand. He goes, come here, pal. And he gives me a hug. So I'm standing there. I'm standing there and I don't mean to ramble on, but I'm standing there and he's signing and I'm still demoing. I look over and he's waving at me. I'm like, I'm Norm Abrams' pal.
He's my friend. I'm his friend.
And I'm like, it's just how life takes you. It's that journey. And I think, I know this, Clara. your channel and you taking people on a journey is unbelievably inspiring to people. You may not think it, but it is. So can I just tell you to keep up the great work?
Oh, thank you.
You are unbelievable. Just keep up the great work. Okay, let's see. You know what's unbelievable? Since we do this now and we pre-recorded instead of live, mm-hmm. I'm like, every once in a while, I get so into these conversations with people on Shop Talk. I looked up at the clock and I went, oh my God, look at the time. Oh my God.
20 minutes passed by.
Oh, I can't believe it. What was the first Festool you bought? How did you hear about Festool?
So Festool is something that I got introduced at school, actually.
Cool.
They had Domino and Festool Shop Vac, of course, as a set. Got it.
Of course.
And they also had track saws.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Domino was the first machine that I got introduced. And it was really useful. So useful. Like, I know, like, using dowel joints is a more inexpensive and quick version of doing it too. But with Domino, it's not just for the alignment, but it also gives that structural integrity as well.
Mm.
So that's a part that couldn't really be replaced with dowel joints.
Yeah. So everybody thinks here at Festool, everybody thinks the Domino is my favorite tool. Yeah, I love it. You know, mm-hmm. I use it almost every day, but it's not my favorite tool. I know my favorite tool is the track saw.
Mm.
And I started out in 2003 with my first one. It was an ATF 55. And I think this now earned with the TS60 or the TS60, TSV60, just the new release. I think I'm up to like six or seven different innovation turns for the saw. And I'm like, I was using that TSV with a scoring blade this weekend at home. And I've done a Festool Live on it already. And I'm still so amazed at the thought that went into this saw. So that's how I was back in 2007 when I saw my first Domino, to bring it back to what you were saying. It's such a time saver, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of time saver. And probably the secondary that I would say is the shop vac.
Cool. That's not, it's really nice to hear that, because we always just say, oh yeah, yeah, it's just, I don't say it, I'm not supposed to, but oh yeah, it's just a dust extractor. But you know what? It's the core of our system. And so when I really realize dust extraction nowadays, and my shop, I'm going to take to my shop at home, is when I turn on my lathe, you know, and I just like, oh my God, all this dust flying around. So I'm trying to make a contraption or a hood for my lathe at home that I can hook up my CT to, my dust extractor. All right. So I'm just looking at my questions. I think you've answered everything. Hey, is there a question that I should have asked you?
How do you think we did?
Oh, Clara, come on. I know we had scheduled this out, and we knew you were out in Korea, and I couldn't wait to do this Festool Shop Talk with you, because I'm a fanboy of your channel and we did fantastic. The thing I want to do though is I want to make sure you understand we're very thankful for your time. We truly, this has been I can't believe an hour's transpired. It's gone by.
Oh my.
I know. It's just so laid back. And I just want to say, and to all our listeners, go follow Clara on any of her platforms. It's Clara's Woodshop. You are a fantastic inspiration for people in woodworking. In fact, I've been woodworking for quite some time now, and you inspire me because of your authenticity and your willingness to share your thoughts and your feelings. And a lot of people don't do that in videos. They just do these slick videos and Your videos are fantastic. So I just want to say that. And I want to thank you for your time. This I can't believe this whole hour just went by so quick. So any final thoughts?
Well, Sej, like, I just want to thank you. And all I'm doing in video is just trying my best, because I am not going to say that I am nearly perfect, half perfect. So what I'm trying is just constantly learning and just being able to grow, and also accepting my flaws.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Which is,
learn from those mistakes and you'll just keep growing and growing and growing. All right. I'm going to call this a wrap, Clara. Thank you so much again. And everybody listening, thank you for listening, and truly, truly, this has been fun. Thank you.
Same here. Thanks, Sej.
You betcha.